All right, time for the C-Note and the best recap you're going to hear of everything that was notable from today's Cowboys season-ending press conference with Jerry, Steven, and Brian. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Krusty's Corner's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. You'll hear from Broadus. Okay, Jerry, like at the top of the deal, celebrated keeping Dak healthy, talked about Shoddy's role in that. Did you guys notice anything from the scheme that was more protective of Dak? I think the only thing that you could point to was that Javonte Williams' pass protection ability was just elite, and maybe Shoddy was instrumental in identifying we're going to have a great pass protecting running back as we move into the future with Dak Prescott if we want to get the best out of him. Maybe that was one of the hidden reasons he was better this year than he's ever been.
I kind of feel like it really was the quarterback's doing. How many times early in the year did we, and I understand what you're saying about the blitz pickup stuff, because there was a lot of times that Williams was cleaning up messes.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there was a lot of times early in this season where Dak was having to avoid, move, find a spot, throw the ball. You know, he took some hits. Maybe it's Dak's own conditioning going into the season, you know, the way that he always kind of comes back in shape. But whatever he did,
he was shredded.
Yeah, yes. Whatever he did last year as far as getting ready, the diet, the stretching, the whatever, whoever he was working with, you know, go back to that situation because he was moving around really well in the pocket. And then when he did take some hits, you know, he was able to kind of pop up. You know, he didn't put himself in any real bad position. So I think it was really on the quarterback's conditioning going into that was more than some kind of scheme changer. Even though that Williams did better, though, it might have helped, too, having Booker inside, you know, with Booker and Smith and BB on his second year. Just a little bit better inside there, too.
Guyton had a good run where he wasn't giving up as many pressures, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I
when
think
he played.
Yeah.
I worry about Guyton. I'm not going to lie.
Just for health reasons.
I want to believe in Guyton, and I think he's got an NBA body. I think he's one of these NBA guys. You know, when we watch him and he plays the wear and tear, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait,
it's not built solid.
Yeah.
It's not built for contact.
Yeah, it's not built for contact. And all of a sudden he gets taken wide, and then he sprains an ankle. He rolls over on it, and
yeah.
You know, it's these guys in the NBA, they're great-looking physical specimen guys, and then they can't stay healthy. And I'm afraid this might be one of those guys that can't stay healthy for you.
We all need him to be the best he's ever been next year and stay healthy, I think. They were committal to Tyler Smith today at left guard. Shoddy said that's what he told Tyler Smith is, for the time being, your left guard. But if we get into a situation where somebody gets hurt, then we might need you to slide to left tackle. But at least for offseason purposes, your permanent position is left guard. But he mentioned by name Guyton and Thomas and feeling pretty good about them with a full offseason of work. But it is notable that in back-to-back seasons, Guyton went out with injury, and then it was like he was healthy and maybe possibly could come back. But last year they went with Adoga. And this year they stuck with a different combination instead of sliding Guyton back in there. Maybe confidence isn't that high. On Javonte, Steve said he is at the top of their list and they want to sign him on a multi-year deal. And Williams wants to be back, and they are talking to the agent already. So if you're a big fan of Javonte, it seems like that deal might get done there in the first couple, 2-3 days of free agency.
And I would think that if it's going to get done, it's probably not going to be anything that's a crazy high market type of deal. Because I don't think they're going to go. I mean, that was the whole thing with Rico last year. They didn't want to go over and pay $6 million for him. So I think Javonte probably gets himself a deal that he's comfortable with, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that $10 million range.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about that in the valuation of the guy, him and And Breece Hall,
yeah,
right? $10.3 million.
I think the Cowboys have pivoted in that philosophy ever since Zeke. I don't think they're paying top of the market for backs anymore.
Man, I would love to see them go get bring Javonte Williams back and get Breece Hall. That would be something to legitimately get very excited about. Because, I mean, for as much as I like Javonte and he checks most of the boxes, he just doesn't have that game-breaking ability. Jerry was pretty defensive throughout the afternoon, and he was asked if Shoddy can hire his own DC, and he basically said Fluce wouldn't have been here without Shoddy's approval. And said Brian basically has a chance to redeem himself with what he does next. So I thought that was interesting. But I would say Jerry more rattled and defensive than usual. And it became very clear that he's got rabbit ears. He's hearing all the criticisms about him. And I hope that puts him in a position where, you know, he's not defiantly insisting that he is all those things, but he actually, you know, has some actions that can change the narrative about him. I think that's what you got to hope, that it's become personal for Jer Bear. Because throughout a lot of the press conference, he actually had a rare moment of honesty where he said, I don't want to come up here and say we're going to be more aggressive than we have been and then not do it. And you guys would be like, hey, what happened there? But then by the time they got to the walk-off, he's back to what was the verbiage? We're going all in, or we're going to be super aggressive.
Budget, the budget.
We're going to bust the budget. Yeah, and he was not willing to go there publicly, standing next to or sitting next to Stephen Jones and Brian Schottenheimer throughout the afternoon. It was much more reserved. But you know, I think maybe something you said earlier, Chief, maybe that he sensed that the air had been taken out of the room by the presser, and he wanted to do something exciting to inject it back in there. So you keep the beat writers strung along. They write stuff. They create content with the idea of building excitement for free agency. But I really don't expect it now.
Yeah, I mean, he says we'll do some dramatic things. It was a dramatic thing we did trading Micah. And he says we're going to keep this thing as good as we can possibly be. Finances are no object. We're going to make it as entertaining as we can and keep it as lively as we can for everybody. That was in the walk-off.
All right. Well, I'll drink to that. I guess there's a chance, but I think if you really want to hope that this team's going to be better, it's nailing the draft and then nailing the budget free agent additions. Like the year that they got Jayron Kearse, remember that year where, I mean, they only spent $20 million, but they got six guys that were contributing regularly. Like a couple of times a decade, they'll nail this shopping on a budget deal.
And it's probably the marrying of you get the right defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn, who is able to adjust and has a plan for those type of guys. And he did for Jayron Kearse for a year to 2 years. It was like, holy hell. He's got himself this like rover position where it's like hybrid linebacker safety and it works out great. If they can find that, then yeah. I mean, you're going to be cooking, but it is clear, like, the difference in dynamic. And I could be totally wrong with what's going on behind the scenes, but just from observing the presser, for Steven, everything comes back to the draft, and then Jerry just seems much more open-minded to, like, yeah. I mean, ask Steven. He knows more about the salary cap, but, hey, I'm down to be a little bit more aggressive in free agency if there's a situation out there that we want to attack. I think him also pointing out trades – if they make a big move, it's to go trade for Max Crosby. It's not signing a free agent. It's them mortgaging those picks or a pick and going to get Crosby out of the Raiders. I really think that's one of their things in the back pocket.
He did mention the idea that it didn't necessarily have to be using the picks, that trades were possible. Shoddy talking about the defense, okay, this is what I teased. Sorry to get to it late. I said the number one thing we have to do is stop the run. I think they took pretty good steps towards that this year, but they need better linebackers. And as Brian told y'all last summer, the entire team needs to be more physical, better tacklers. Says the other thing that they're going to need to do is take the ball away. And, you know, when he talks about that kind of stuff, I think maybe that could have been his biggest criticism with Eberflus. Like, we just didn't put this secondary in enough positions to go get footballs because we were letting the opposition play with clean pockets too much, you know. And we got to do something if you're not one of the one-on-one matchups there. What Shoddy's looking for in a DC, though, I thought was maybe my favorite moment. Great teacher, great communicator. He said the teaching thing is big because what they're asking the team to do is very complicated. This isn't a simple defense on both sides of the ball. And what that goes to is the adjustments, the rotations before and immediately after the snap based on what the offense is doing. And we all have to be on the same page. So you know, I think that's a tall task to get better at that for 2026. Like, you need a veteran, smart football team. And if one thing we've learned from the years of Mike Zimmer and Matt Eberflus, this isn't a group of defensive players right now that learn things quickly. And maybe that's because they haven't been taught well enough, or maybe that's just because, you know, who they kind of are. They do what they do, and they don't have much of an appetite. They're not leaning into learning more. They're not capable of learning more. I don't know what that is, but getting a communicator in there that can inspire and educate very quickly is one of the top priorities for Shoddy. And he said the kind of scheme they want, more flexibility and unpredictability, because that's the kind of stuff that gives them problems.
Right.
Some smooth talking going on there.
Well, we'll see. You know, I think he did a pretty good job on the offensive side of the ball in that department.
I'm not aiming that at you. I'm just aiming that at a guy. You know, when you ask somebody a question like that, you know, and you obviously, did he think the same thing about, you think the same thing about Matt Eberflus when he had the opportunity to, you know, they stepped up there and said, you know, hey, yeah, sure, bring this guy on board. Yeah, absolutely. Shoddy knows.
I mean, you're trying to get the job at that point.
I think we're getting Buffaloed.
You're trying to get a head coaching job, and they're like, hey, we like Eberflus, do you? Hell yeah, I like him. I'm the most agreeable son of a bitch in this building today.
We all like Eberflus. We all do. I think he's a very smooth talker. I think he says exactly for media. He's a great media soundbite guy. You know, when he's, well, you know, that's a good question there, Todd. You know, we want a tough-minded
guy. No, you're right about that, yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, how about somebody, you know, go out and prove to us that's who you're really going to go get. You know, if you have a say in this, go out and get one of these guys. Go out and get Jim Leonard. Go out and get the guy at Minnesota. Go out. Don't let me have to deal with some guy I've never heard of before because he was in the Dan Quinn tree or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's going to take.
Well, Clayton Adams, we hadn't heard a lot about, and that was a great hire, wasn't it?
You know what? Absolutely. You know, and to me, I'm looking at this though as if they do not play in free agency, you're going to need you're going to need whoever does tricks. You know, magician.
Oh, Chris Angel. Give me Chris Angel.
You're going to need that guy.
Mind freak.
Because if they don't get players, that dude is going to have to, like, you know, need Harry Houdini to get out of with the chains and the box underwater.
Magic wand.
It ain't going to matter.
David Copperfield up there.
It needs to be wins, man. You're right. I'm
tired of everybody standing up there and telling me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I really am. How about going out there and for one effing time, go out there and be a real NFL team? You know, go out there and make it a priority to get this S right. You know, Wolchuk, you made a great point yesterday. Same amount of wins with Cooper Rush at quarterback last year as this year. Same deal. Same amount. Fired the coach, got rid of guy, you know, same deal. It's the same crap. You had to find a way to win 10 games this year to get in the tournament. You couldn't do that. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of you sitting there and telling me that, you know, you're peeing on my leg and you're telling me it's raining.
Yeah.
No. Stop. It's disappointing. It really is, because he's a smooth talker. He's going to make everybody feel comfortable. Hey, that's a good question there. You know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, I asked a good question today. Yeah, okay. Oh, he called me out.
That's why I don't ask him any questions.
He does make you feel good. He makes you feel good. He
will completely disarm you from, like, being tough on him. And I don't want to hear it anymore. Oh, we want a coach that – every coach says the same damn thing. Yeah, we want a team that can run the ball. We want to be tough on the defensive lines. We want to blah, blah, blah. Go make it actually happen instead of sit there and peeing on my leg.
Yeah, and the fact that they still haven't requested for Jim Leonard today, you know, and Steven was asked about that. We have guys, and probably by the end of the week we'll have requests out. You had an opportunity to go and get this Jim Leonard thing done as early as today. This is the week to do it. He's on a bye. His team's the number one seed. Same thing, really, with Carl Scott, if that's a guy that they're interested in Seattle.
Their team's
on a bye. They haven't requested any of these guys to our knowledge now, and that is, I got excited. This is what happens, right?
Yeah.
You start to think, like, maybe it's changing a little bit. Like, ooh, Shoddy's got them moving a little bit faster. Still haven't really seen that as evidence yet, based on them not really taking any movement in terms of who they're talking to for this job yet.
Shoddy didn't want to see Eberflus in the salad line today. Yeah, he didn't want to see him hanging out, grabbing a meal. He got tired of him. After that whole thing, he got tired of him. He said, Minnesota, he sent him to the coach's box. Hey, go, you know, just get off the field. I don't have time for you anymore. He didn't want to see him showing up and like, hey, what's going on? Anything happening?
I think he's tough, and I think he's willing to have the SOB conversation. She just doesn't want to do it publicly. You know, I think he's plenty tough. I don't think he's trying to overly charm or kiss anybody's ass internally.
I think you're absolutely right about that.
Okay, we got to run. Great stuff, though, Brian.
Yeah,
I appreciate that passion.
You think he's trying to kiss the media's ass?
He's definitely trying to kiss the media's ass.
I think behind closed doors, at least it does sound as though he has the difficult conversations.
The Cliff Notes is stop buffaloing us and quit peeing on us.
Yeah, I think those are two fair, just human decency requests.
You know what? Listen, I'm tired of all the BS going on over at that place. Lot of it. Poor owner, 82-year-old man, has to sit there and try and drum things up and make everybody excited because nobody wants to do anything. The old man's the one that wants to do stuff. Everybody else is afraid of what could happen. Hadn't worked in 30 years, boys. Need to do something different here.
No, amen. I think you should re-cue up that Stephen Jones rant as well, because I think it's dead balls on. You know, we need to see something different, and I hope Shoddy can be a part of that. I'm still a Shoddy believer.